Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's May the 22nd, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, the EWG, the Environmental Working Group, just in time for the Farm Bill debate, will release an updated version of its online farm payment tracker. And speaking of the Farm Bill, it looks like a portion of that legislation will be written and adapted on the floor of the House and the Senate. As you'll hear from our own Dave Dickey, that's not usually the case. You'll have all the details a bit later in the program. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau and our regular Tuesday of the growing season series of reports from the statisticians in the five top corn-producing states of the nation. From top to bottom, they are Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. Oh, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit finished lower, down 8.5 cents in the nearby July at 471 for the harvest month. September down 7.75 at 484.75, and December futures at 496.25 were down 6.75. July corn off 11.5 cents. It finished 11.5 lower at 369.5. September at 371.25, down a dime. December futures were down 11 cents at 369.25 as well. July futures in the bean pit down 7.25 at 793.25. August contract $8.25. The settlement price down 7. November beans for the harvest down 7 at 822.25. July futures from the bean meal pit at 70 lower, 214.80, the final trade there. Bean oil at 34.83, down 43. Feeder cattle in the May contract at 108.65, off 27.5 cents. Live cattle futures in the red as well, down $1.10 at 92.50. The August contract at 92.57.5, down 82.5. And June lean hogs down 67.5 cents at 74.65 for the afternoon.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on this Tuesday to take a look at what happened to the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Ooh, pretty tough day. Is this all related to yesterday afternoon's release of the crop progress report that showed a pretty good corn crop on the way?
Well, that's one of the big things, Todd. You know, we were not expecting, the trade itself was not expecting a number much over 66% good to excellent rating. You know, we come in at 78, the third highest rating we've ever seen, you know, since 86 when we started doing this. Along with that, we saw some tweaking of the forecasts, the GFS model at noon, increase in the rainfall for central Illinois from Friday through Sunday, because yesterday we were looking pretty dry. Unfortunately, when you get over to our area, we're still looking pretty dry for this rain event that's going to do. So, you know, a little bit of possibly better rain coming in. You know, NOAA coming out with their forecast of how many tropical storms and hurricanes this season, which a lot of times opens up the Gulf and brings some moisture up to the Ohio Valley. And along with the planting progress, and the locals selling hard today. I don't think we've been pushed down as hard if the locals hadn't come in and try to push things down. So all that together mounted up to reversing and just taking off what we put on yesterday.
My, what if a few days difference makes from the time that we were behind and wet and cold and waiting to get the crop in the ground to the point that we're ahead and the crop is off to a good start, more volatility on the way for the summer?
Oh, I think we're going to be looking at the volatility for a long time. You know, as they talk about the bulls, you know, hearing about all the flooding areas, all the water. Yeah, you listen to Tom Skilling talk about the flooding areas, referring back to the same amount of acres underwater as 93 when we had so many problems. It's amazing that we're rated this high and doing this good. One of the things, you know, is we're dry here in the Eastern Corn Belt and part of the other areas. You know, we were just in, I think, the 60-some percent emerged. So there's still really a third of the crop that's underground, Todd, that we don't know what it looks like yet, and it might be slow coming if we don't see some rains here in the Eastern Corn Belt.
What's your advice for producers at this point on corn and soybeans?
Well, I think that, like you said, there's going to be a lot of volatility, a lot of ups and downs in between here, and like I said to Dave this morning, I think we're going to sort of sit on our hands for a little bit right here. I think we're going to have another weather scare sometime down in here, and as we move on up, then we're probably going to be making some more sales the next time the run-up happens. But for right here, we're looking for some commercial support and some, you know, buying by some quality buyers just for the summer weather, because it is still very volatile. The weather forecasts are changing every time we hear a new forecast. So we are very close to things as far as our production goes and where our usage is going to be. So we think there's going to be one or two more scares before we think we need to sell out here.
Wayne, we appreciate you being with us for
Thanks,
the day.
Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
At the bottom of the hour, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather. Ed Kieser says across the two-state region tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies. Lows will range from 57 in eastern Indiana to 64 in the west-central parts of Illinois. Dave Dickey's here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, the Washington-based Environmental Working Group is releasing an updated database next month on who receives farm payments. The latest searchable database will make it possible to identify money to individuals that was funneled through cooperatives and corporations. The database will track just over $43 billion in payments provided under Title I commodities and Title II conservation programs from 2003 to 2005 to individual beneficiaries. EWG says the database will show that the top 1% of farm program beneficiaries, roughly 15,000 individuals, received $5.8 billion, an average of $377,500 a year. Washington Insider is reporting today that portions of the farm bill will be written in floor debates. Sources say there are strong and organized groups of non-ag committee lawmakers who want significant changes in environmental and conservation issues. Money is also an issue. The agricultural committees, due in part to renewable fuel-driven prices, have far less money available than in the 2002 Farm Bill. U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson says food safety issues are a key issue on the table during 2 days of talks on economic issues with a high-level Chinese delegation. China's vice premier and 15 top ministers are meeting today and tomorrow in Washington, D.C. Also under discussion, market access for additional U.S. exports to the PRC. Some Chicago Board of Trade shareholders are balking at a proposed merger with the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. The group yesterday announced its intention of asking a court to grant a temporary injunction that would block a July 9th vote of shareholders on the merger of the CBOT and CME. The disgruntled group of shareholders will have to prove they are faced with irreparable harm if forced to vote on July 9th. The group says CBOT leadership is ignoring an offer from Intercontinental Exchange that is about $1 billion higher than the CME offer. and the Australian government has stripped AWB of its power to veto proposed wheat export sales, but postponed for a year a final decision on whether to keep the nation's single-desk export monopoly. For now, the government will continue to make wheat marketing arrangements for exports. A year-long investigation reported AWB may have broken Australian criminal and corporate laws by paying kickbacks to Iraq through the United Nations Oil for Food Program. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. Well, up next in today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkus says the well might not run dry, but farmers may be forced out of the race for water.
Benjamin Franklin once wrote, "We will only know the worth of water when the well is dry." While it's easy to take our water supply for granted, farmers are confronted each day with the challenge of having enough water to produce the nation's food. As the population grows and weather patterns change, we should all be concerned with the availability of water. Many believe by the year 2050, water may be the most critical resource issue facing the world, especially for agriculture. Unfortunately, agriculture is being dealt two sets of cards: weather trends coupled with population growth. As urban growth continues to spread, agriculture will have fewer water resources for food production. It will likely come down to a state of economics in which agriculture would be on the losing end. People can always pay more money for water to drink than farmers can pay for food production. And while farmers may be frowned on for their use of water resources, they are producing the food that feeds our nation. Because of these population changes, along with ongoing cyclical weather patterns, water resources are becoming a critical issue for U.S. agriculture. The time has come for us to prepare for the future and maintain the viability of our water resources before the well runs dry. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved as well by sharing your views. To do so, call us at 217-333-0850.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Next, our weekly growing season look at the crop progress numbers as they're released from USDA. This report represents the status of the crops in the United States as of May the 20th. 92% of the corn crop has been planted, and that's now ahead of schedule. The five-year rolling average is 86% nationwide. More than two-thirds of that crop, 67%, is out of the ground, and better than three-fourths of it is in good to excellent condition, 78% in those two categories. Last year, that number was 66%. So the corn crop is off to a fast and a very good start. Soybeans now. 59% have been sown. That's 11% ahead of the five-year average, and 21% of those have managed to push those two little leaves into the sunlight. How about a science lesson here for the uninitiated? Soybeans push up through the soil and extend two leaves as they emerge. As it begins life, it looks a bit like a staff or a hook, and that bent neck with those two leaves hanging down has to force its way out of the ground. Sometimes farmers call it a neck, and it can be broken. Soybeans are a dicot, or a dicotyledon. Those two leaves I talked about aren't really leaves at all, they're cotyledons, or the seed leaves that the plant draws nourishment from until it can spread some true sun catchers. The corn plant, well, that one's a monocot, or a monocotyledon, and yeah, you got it, it sends mono, one cotyledon, a spike, straight up into the sunlight as it springs forth from that magnificent terra firma. Oh, the sweet smell of the earth. The farmers and the crew know what I'm talking about. Nothing like a snoot full of the aroma from a freshly tilled field. Hey, but enough of that science and wistful thought. On to the statisticians we go for an update on growing conditions in order from Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending May 20, 2007. A busy and productive week in the fields brought planting to near normal percentages. Corn planting is complete in some areas, and in other parts of the state, some fields are being replanted. The past work week began with very warm weather on Monday, the 14th, when daytime high temperatures were in the mid-80s to low 90s throughout the state of Iowa. The statewide average temperature was 2.5 degrees above normal for the week. Weekly precipitation totals varied from only a trace at Spencer and Sioux City to 1.62 inches at Lansing. The statewide average precipitation was 0.29 inches, while normal for the week is 1.09 inches. There were 5.9 days suitable for field work, comparable to 4.9 days last year at this time. Topsoil moisture rate 11%, very short or short, 79% adequate, and 10% surplus across Iowa. Subsoil moisture rated 3%, very short or short, 77% adequate, and 20% surplus. Oat planting is nearly complete. 94% of the oats are emerging compared to last year's 97%. The condition of the oat crop is 2% very poor or poor, 24% fair, and 74% good or excellent. Corn planting at 93% is 5 days behind last year, but only 1 day behind the five-year average. 65% of the corn is emerged compared to last year's 67% and the five-year average of 62%. Corn condition across the state is 3% very poor or poor, 18% fair, and 79% good or excellent. 61% of the soybeans are planted, with 12% emerged. Planting is equal to the five-year average, while emergence is 2 days behind the average. Pasture and rain conditions are rated 4% very poor or poor, 26% fair, and 70% good or excellent. Livestock condition is generally good, and lots are dry. This has been Joe Prusaki with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Des Moines, Iowa, with the weekly crop and weather report for the week ending May 20, 2007.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending May 20th. Near ideal weather once again last week yielded 6.1 days suitable for field work, allowing planting progress for corn and soybeans to surge ahead of their five-year averages. Statewide temperatures were slightly cooler than normal, and precipitation accumulations averaged 49 one-hundredths of an inch below normal. Topsoil moisture continued another week of dry down and was rated at 4% very short, 36% short, 58% adequate, and 2% surplus. The Southeast Crop Reporting District remains the wettest area of the state, with 21% being reported as surplus. Corn planting progressed to 98%. Which compares to 96% 1 year ago and 86% for the five-year average. 88% of the corn fields have emerged compared to 82% 1 year ago and 72% for the five-year average. Corn height averaged 5 inches compared with 4 inches last year and for the five-year average. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated in fair to mostly good condition. However, there have been some reports of cutworm damage in isolated areas. Soybean planting, now at 75% complete, jumped by another 31 percentage points in just 1 week. This pace continues well ahead of last year's 44% and the five-year average of 47%. 33% of the soybean fields have emerged, compared to 11% 1 year ago and 19% for the five-year average. The soft red winter wheat crop has reached 90% headed, and that compares to 91% 1 year ago and 87% for the five-year average. 35% of the wheat heads had filled by week's end, and that compares with 48% last year and 33% normally. Reports indicate numerous wheat fields that suffered heavy damage from the late freeze have been or will be replanted to other crops. Some wheat fields that looked okay are showing signs of damage now that heading is occurring. Statewide, condition of the crop was rated in fair to good condition. In other crops around the state, sorghum planting was at 40% complete, well ahead of last year's 22% and the five-year average of 26%. Oats is 17% headed. The first cutting of alfalfa was 39% complete, and red clover cutting had reached 44%. Pastures were rated in fair to mostly good condition, while alfalfa and red clover were rated fair to good. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending May 20th, 2007. Windy warm conditions allowed soils to dry and producers a chance to nearly complete corn planting. Corn planted increased rapidly with favorable weather and was 92% complete, behind last year's 96, but even with the 5-year average. Corn emerge was 59%, behind the 64 of last year and near 58 average. Soybeans planted also increased significantly and was 48% complete, but still behind last year's 66 and the 5-year average of 53. Soybeans emerge was 9%, behind last year's 11 and the average of 15. Wheat conditions remained near last week and rated 62% good or excellent, well above last year's condition of 35%. Alfalfa conditions declined from last week and rated 52% good or excellent, and remain well below last year's 64%. Pasture and range conditions rated 59% good or excellent, well above last year's 44%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director of the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending May 20, 2007. Minnesota's corn crop emerged rapidly this past week as soil temperatures continued to climb. An estimated 40% of the state's corn emerged this past week, while soybeans, sunflower, and canola plantings continued well ahead of the 5-year average pace. Topsoil moisture supplies fell during the week as little precipitation was received. The average temperature for the week was 58.7 degrees, 1.8 degrees above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 8% very short, 35 short, 56 adequate, and 1 surplus. As of Sunday, May 20th, an estimated 82% of corn acreage was emerged, compared to the 5-year average of 42%. Soybean plantings were 85% complete, compared to 53% average. Spring wheat acreage was 82% emerged, compared to 59% average, and potato plantings were 94% complete, compared to 80% average. Pasture was rated 55% in good or excellent condition, while alfalfa was rated 60% in good or excellent condition. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending May 20th, 2007. I'm Dan Loftus with the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending May 20th. Another good week for field work allowed many Indiana farmers to make significant planting progress. A few isolated severe storms brought much-needed moisture to fields already planted and helped bring the crops up. Other areas were reported as getting very dry, resulting in concerns about germination and emergence. Growers also worried about the recently emerged seedlings that are lightly rooted, having enough topsoil moisture to continue growing. Topsoil moisture was rated at 3% very short, 18% short, 75% adequate, and 4% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated as 1% very short, 8% short, 86% adequate, and 5% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0.04 to 1.15 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 91 degrees to a low of 34. For the week ending Friday, 5.7 days were rated as suitable for field work. 94% of the intended corn acreage has been planted, ahead of last year's 77% planted at this time, and also ahead of the 5-year average of 69%. By area of the state, 95% has been planted in the north, 96% in the central region, and 87% in southern Indiana. 66% of the planted corn acreage has emerged, compared with 53% for last year and 52% for the 5-year average. Planting of soybeans for the week also made good progress and advanced ahead of the average pace, with 72% of the intended corn acreage planted, compared to 36% for last year and 43% for the 5-year average. 25% of the planted soybean acreage was emerged, compared with 14% last year at this time and 22% for the 5-year average. 59% of the winter wheat acreage is headed, compared with 64% last year and 65% for the 5-year average. Wheat condition is rated at 39% good to excellent, compared with 76% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL Urbana. In just about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather, your regional newscast. That one comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Fernando Trevino has been named as the next chancellor for Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, pending approval by the Board of Trustees. SIU President Glenn Pichard announced the 57-year-old Trevino as his choice today to head the 21,000-student campus. Trevino lately has been dean of the School of Public Health at the University of North Texas Health Science Center, where he also was a professor of health management and policy. Trevino would replace Walter Wendler, who was ousted by Pichard late last year. Visitors to the Indiana State House in Indianapolis will have to go through metal detectors starting next month. All bags and packages will be X-rayed, and visitors will be prohibited from bringing weapons into the building. Legislators and members of the judiciary, however, will not be barred from carrying weapons. A man who's been living in Oklahoma City has been arrested for a 1995 murder in Terre Haute. Police arrested 38-year-old Theodore Howard Hemmons III in the shooting death of 53-year-old James McMullen. Police say they recently got new evidence in the case. In the Kankakee County town of Bourbonnais, Fire Chief Ed St. Louis says food left unattended on a stove sparked an early morning fire that tore through an apartment building in Bourbonnais this morning, leaving 15 people homeless. St. Louis says three people and an adult were taken to the hospital with burns and smoke inhalation. The Champaign School Board approved the appointment of two new school principals at their meeting last night. Amy Hayden will be the new principal of the Champaign Early Childhood Center. She's being promoted from another administrative post at the center. And Heather Livengood, a school principal in Marshall, will become principal of Unit 4's Robeson Elementary School. Both appointments begin August 1st. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. It is a broadcasting service off the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us by phone to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest and around the nation. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
USDA says there's an awfully good corn crop out there, that it's off to a fresh and fast start, and a lot of it's up and running at this point. Will there be enough rainfall to keep it sustained?
Certainly is looking that way. In fact, as we leave the last few days of May here and head into early June, a good part of the central United States, from the Rockies through the High Plains, the Plain States, and in the Corn Belt, will have several opportunities for getting rained on. And this will also extend into the wheat country as well. So we'll end May and head into early June a little bit more moist.
And that's a very nice start to the summer season. Anything as you look out further that gives you cause for concern?
Well, some concern, especially here in Illinois and across some of the central and eastern Corn Belt areas, we may have a little bit too much of that rain. Something we need to watch out for as we head into this Memorial Day weekend into early next week. We may have a pattern of repeating shower and thunderstorm activity during that time frame that could be heavy. So it may be a little too much of a good thing in some areas. That would probably be the number one concern in the short term. We've got also some pretty cold air spilling into the north central part of the United States, but we don't expect any hard freeze conditions to get very far south of the Canadian border. So while we'll be cool in some of the northern and western areas over the next couple of nights, nothing that will cause a hard freeze.
Yeah, rainfall probably will be the toughest on the soft red winter wheat crop in parts of Illinois, Missouri, and Ohio, I would think. How are we doing for the hard red in the Plain States and Kansas?
Well, they're going to be getting more moist. They've gone through a period here where they've seen the thunderstorms and the showers settle down, but they're going to see, for the next 3 or 4 days, some good chances of rain all across the area.
And then if you look out across the globe, what do you see?
Well, in China, they're looking at a near-average precipitation and temperature pattern as we head on into the next 10 days, so favorable conditions there. Over in Europe, well, precipitation looks pretty good as well, especially in the central and western European areas, although some of the areas around Russia could use a little bit of rain, but most of Europe are going to see favorable conditions as well.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
And that is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget, if you missed something during the day, the pre-opening or the opening market report, or you want to hear something again from the Closing Market Report, you can do that right there on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. You'll find all kinds of MP3 files, and if you prefer, you can sign up for a podcast. And don't forget, while you're there, to sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's a good one, and it's free. Just hit subscribe at willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.